tribute to everyone who's listening to this. I was not even prepared. I was very angry on her. And I was very angry on me and the whole situation that happened.
Every right. You did. Since we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it. No, you're very patient.
So here's the exclusivity. This was going to be the last project with Piranha Thomas. That was. I was going to drop a message. Girl. Thank you for being on the show. This is our last collaboration that's going to happen. And then she just calls. So I was like, I was holding myself up. Okay, what she's going to say now? Hold up, also listen. And she was talking in her own mood. So I was not even listening to her at that point. I was just thinking, how should I control myself? But yeah.
My mom, like I said, she's my biggest influence. She would take us to certain malls because they had, they have a mall called Green Bar Mall down here in Atlanta, Georgia. She would take us there, sign us up, me and my siblings. And then for the most part, they had mostly a little model. We still have videos online from my mom recording us models at any different places. But that's mostly where the support came from. My aunties, my uncles. Like I said, my whole family is really surrounded. My mom had the opportunity to work with Shelley Garrett. Shelley Garrett is like the godfather of stage play, the godfather of Tyler Perry. So I had the pleasure of working with Tony Terry. I worked with a lady named Danielle Williams, who she had a show called On a Bull Pit, and had the pleasure of working with her as well. But I've mostly been able to connect with a lot of people that my mom knew. She kind of built, like I said, my mom built an empire. She built connections. And of course, I have my own connections, but a lot of it stemmed from friends that people that my mom knew, the work that my mom did. And she's like, hey, bring my daughter, let me bring my son, let me bring my, you know, the people around me that I know. So,
got it.
It mostly happened like that. It was, 8 years old, I started in the church with my mom. My dad started in the church, praise dancing. That's how the very first time I started doing anything that had to do with the arts. I started acting at 12, and the first play I was in was called, it was like the Three Bears. It was in middle school, but it was middle school and high school. So it was the Three Bears looking for the gold mine. It was a play about the Three Bears, Golden Locks, just a mixture of stories in one play. And that was the first time I ever did a play, just period. First time I've ever stood in front of anybody, and I enjoyed it. I was a judge in the play, so it was great.
How was your childhood?
I had a childhood days.
Upbringing, the family, the parents. How was that thing?
So I have very supportive parents. My mom's very supportive. I grew up mostly with my mom and my siblings. I have two sisters and one brother from my mom. In all, I actually have 15 brothers and sisters. But I grew up in a big family. My father's great, mom's great, sisters and brothers. My mom's a very hard worker. I had to watch my mom, I wouldn't say struggle, because I don't think we really struggled. I don't want to say struggle like that. But my mom's been my biggest supporter. My mom's my biggest supporter.
Okay, can you share any specific memory from your childhood that influenced your passion for the arts? Like any memory that was really, okay, that hooked you up and okay, that's it. That is very special for me.
Yes, so... Again, when you say in the arts, are you talking about everything as far as the arts, poetry, dancing, acting, or are you just specifically asking about acting?
Look, I'm talking about that particular moment, you know, one kind of thing that stays with you forever. When you close your eyes after 15, 16 years, looking back, the splash of a moment, you remember, okay, that is the one thing from the school I did about this as a kid, and that stayed with me. Any kind of that kind of memory that you have?
Yes. My mom's also an actress. She's in the arts. She's a singer, dancer, actress, a playwright. She does a lot of different things. So watching my mom, growing up, watching my mom in the arts, I think that's one of the things that inspired me as well. I saw that she was amazing at it, you know, and when I first started, I wanted to be like my mom, you know, when I first started. And I remember seeing my mom on stage. And she was in a play called it was actually one of her plays. It was one of her very first plays. I can't even think of the name right now. She has so many plays, but I remember seeing her up on stage and watching her play different characters. And I remember it being I can't think of the correct word, but when you're going through certain things in your life
and you needed a way to express it. It's a way of expression for her. So okay. You had a lot going on. It was easier to kind of step into a different character. For me, that's what it became for me. I was goofy. I was a goofy child. I was always silly. And they would say, man, you are a character. You're a character. I used to be called a character all the time. And at the time, I didn't know what it meant. I'm just like, you know, I'm just silly, you know, and I can portray different voices. I can portray different people and things like that. So all that inspired me to just want to push forward to it. I knew I was silly. I knew I could intimidate different people, different voices. And it was just something I enjoyed doing.
Got it. Just with this whole conversation, I keep on hearing more about your mom. She looks like a very special person for you. Tell me about her. Tell me about your mom. What kind of influence she had on you as an artist, as a woman? Can you take the stage to tell more about your mother, how she is, how she groomed you, every single thing? Just go ahead.
From my smile, I'm sure you can tell there's a lot of amazing things. Like, there's not one specific thing I can really say about my mom. I can go on and on about my mom. Go on. My mom was 17 when she had me. Okay. I got to watch my mom grow. I'm the first child. So being the oldest child, you kind of got to go through it when they're going through it, depending on, you know, what they're going through and what's going on at that time.
So
I had the opportunity to be able to watch and experience my mother's growth. I watched a really, really strong woman build an empire for herself against all odds, you know. So
wow.
As I got older, like you said, being in the arts, I like to call myself not an actress, I'm a creator.
I'm
a creator. So as I got older and I watched something I learned that you can be around is your whole life and you still won't have it all together, you know, so you continue to be learning. So that was something that I got from her. She ended up writing a couple of plays. My mom's also been in plenty of bands. I had the opportunity to dance in a couple of bands that she's had. Like I said, she's a singer. I played my father. She ended up getting married about 14 years ago. So my father was teaching me how to play the bass guitar. My mom was really, really big when it came to influence or encouragement. You're beautiful, beautiful Black queen. Don't let anybody take your shine away. Because I struggled as a child with my identity. I struggled with my self-confidence. I didn't realize how beautiful I was. I didn't realize how talented I was. Like, I knew I could do certain things. Like, I knew I was gifted with certain things, but I didn't understand the full content of my gifts. And with great power does come great responsibility, because when you're, you have certain gifts, God bless you with certain gifts.
Yeah.
You have to be very responsible with it. And even with being a creator, you have to be careful with what you're putting out. And so when I'm jumping into these different characters as a creator, as I'm jumping into these different characters, I have to remember what I'm taking home, whom I'm jumping into, whom story I'm bringing to the table versus who I am. You know, it's just a lot that comes with it. So these are different things that she taught me when it came to being creative and staying humble, also continuing to be humble when you're doing it. Because you get to a certain point in life, you start to, I have a proper word for it, lack. The ability to present yourself the way you want to, because you're so full of yourself, and you have to remember that you're catering to the audience. It's not for yourself. Some things can be, but majority of the time you're catering to your audience. You're telling someone else's story.
Got it. So any childhood role models or any mentors who inspired you to pursue your creative interests? Like, not your mom, but any kind of role models, you keep on seeing them, you know, as an artist, as a kid growing up in school, maybe a pop artist, maybe a rapper, maybe a singer-songwriter or an actor, actresses. Those kind of role models while you were growing up as a kid, as a schoolgirl, as a college teenager, doing the role, but still imagining I'm that kind of a star girl who's performing in that movie. You know, those kind of, were there any kind of role models and inspiration when you're performing and doing the stuff?
They have a pop role model. All my role models were basically around me. I had real role models around me. I didn't really look into if you say growing up, people that I really like, Andre 3000, Tupac, Erykah Badu, these are different people that I like. They weren't really role models to me though. Just mostly the people around me, family members, friends, because everybody that was around me was doing something in the arts. They were always, I'm literally surrounded by musicians, actors. But yeah, mostly those around me were my influences. Like I said, I didn't have any pop stars or hip hop artists, influencers, things like that. With most of the people around me, they were all very creative when it came to their gifts and what they did. So I didn't really have to look to the TV. Everybody around me, like I said, you're either singing, you're writing songs, you play an instrument. Like I said, I grew up around musicians, a lot of storytellers, a lot of actresses, a lot of dancers, influencers. This is before, of course, you know, you had the whole YouTube and everything going on where you could actually see people, you know, influencing everything like that. You had to take that TV back then, of course. So it was like it is today, having influences like you do today.
And now talking about your stage, you know, your stage drama, you do continue on doing on the theater plays, the stage drama. You how many years it's been, like, at this moment till 2023? How many years? Like 15, 20 years?
I guess you can really say, like I said, I started acting when I was 12. So, and I started when I was 8. So I've pretty much been in it all my life. Pretty much.
Okay, anything related to art, even dance counts, there's no problem. But you started like at age of 8, so we can say 25 years. What do you say?
Yeah, about
22 years. So now talk on that, now this part, how did the community, like parents or siblings or like father, grandfather, I don't know who are involved, but how was the support from your family? Was anyone stopping you, or was anyone like pushing you up? Hey, go do this. Tell me about that whole environment.
Yes. So again, like I said, I did start in the church as far as dancing at first. My mom, like I said, she's my biggest influence. She would take us to certain malls because they had if you have a mall called Green Bar Mall down here in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's where I'm from, grew up and everything here. So I've been here my entire life. And they'll have these different auditions here at the malls. They'll hold different auditions. Sometimes you have to pay, sometimes you don't. It really depends on who you knew and where you were going. But but she would take us there, sign us up, me and my siblings. And for the most part, they had mostly a little model. We still have videos online from my mom recording us modeling at in these different places. But that's mostly where the support came from. My aunties, my uncles, like I said, my whole family is really surrounded by creators. Besides that, my mom used to work. Sometimes she would have different jobs working for certain people that were in, like Shelly Garrett, for example. My mom had the opportunity to work with Shelly Garrett. Shelly Garrett is like the godfather of stage plays, the godfather even before Tyler Perry. So I had the pleasure of working with Tony Terry. I worked with a young lady named Danielle Williams, who she has a show called From Porn to Bullpit. And had a pleasure of working with her as well. But I've mostly been able to connect with a lot of people that my mom knew. She kind of built, like I said, my mom built an empire. She built connections. And of course I have my own connections, but a lot of it stemmed from friends that people that my mom knew, the work that my mom did. And she's like, hey, let me bring my daughter on. Let me bring my son on. Let me bring my, you know, the people around me that I know on. So
got it.
It mostly happened like that. It was like that.
Awesome. Yeah, get it. So your mom looks like very strong personality when it comes to an artistic community. And tell me about, so I just want to thank firstly to Willie D. Davis for, so he is the guy who connected you to me, and then we kept on working.
You said,
Willie D. Davis IV.
Oh, yeah.
Willie, yeah. Tell me about the connection with Willie. What's the connection with Willie? How you guys met?
Me and Willie, we met during a show, actually. I wish I could remember the name of the show. Forgive me. But
yeah, no. Just carry on. We are running out of internet.
Okay, cool. So we met through, I want to say Miss London. London Sister Girls. I had the pleasure of working with her as well. But that's mostly how we met. We met through... through the arts. We met through Miss Sister London Girl. Beverly. London Beverly, that's her name.
And okay, awesome.
Yeah, one of her it was called Don't Bring Your Good Booty Call to the Table. It was a great performance. I played a young lady named Sapphire and Gertrude. Quintavia. That was her name, Quintavia. Mm. And that's basically how we met. So there, and then Willie reached out and he was telling, hey, you know, I have this connection, you know, I want to see how you feel about it. You know, and I was like, yo, Willie, I've never done this before. He was like, it's no different. You're just not in front of people. You know, you're using your voice, you're talking, and you know, I'm like, okay, so I'm telling stories. And I was like, I gotta switch my voice. You know, I'm not in front of anybody. The first time for me. So and I met you, Ajay. And you've been great. You've been absolutely great. Very patient with me. And the first story, I remember the first story I did with you. I can't remember the young lady's, you know, the part that I play.
I mean, I also don't remember it.
But it was the Valentine. And
some kind of that stuff. I'll put the poster here so people can get an idea. The love of long ago, I guess it's the love of long.
But it was my first time, and I remember that story because it made me cry. The young lady didn't want to see her father, and just the way that God worked, it was just the way it was to me. It was beautiful to me. So I definitely that was my first time, and then since then I've been working with you. Since then, I want to say about two and a half years.
I guess we collaborated with two or three projects, and here's a special thanks to Willie Davis IV. He's the guy who connected us, and that's how we started working together. And it's been amazing working with you. You actually, there's one thing I'd like to know more on is you are an actress, you are a poet, you are a dancer, you do all these things. You take out time from this. But at the same time, to everyone who's listening, who's watching this, she's also a mother. She had two kids. And she is living in a family at this moment when you are talking. It's 3 a.m. in Texas. I guess you're Texas, right?
No, so it's 3 Atlanta. Well, it would probably take
Atlanta. Yeah. Okay. She's in Atlanta and it's 3 a.m. and she's there. So a big applause to her supportive husband who is helping her out at this moment to arrange the Wi-Fi and all. I don't know what her kids are doing, but even acting, dancing, and singing, performing on stage, she also does a very hard work, kind of a work that for 8 or 10 hours every single day. And then she figures out what kind of time, what kind of day where she can do all these things. So how do you manage these things? What's the work-life balance for you? How do you figure out time?
It's nothing but God. I can't even say it's nothing but God. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
To be able to have this time, to be able to work, to be able to have a family, to be able to come home to people who love you, surrounded with love, you know, and support. And one of the things that, like I said, I'm sorry, I'm a vet tech. I work with animals. That's something I also want to do since I was 8 years old. I used to go to the zoo a lot. My father used to take me to the zoo a lot. And when he could, So they start off with that. So my love for animals has been infinite. And I just thought it was a little bit different with humans. but it's really great.
You feel like you are living with humans and animals at this. Like sometimes do you treat your kids like the way you treat animals? Is there some kind of like that behavior chipped into you?
Yes, my kids taught and the animals taught me how to treat my kids better too. So
yeah, okay, wow, that's good.
I know it sounds crazy, but it's great. I feel like you have different lessons in life. You can learn.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from animals. I've learned a lot of patience. I've learned how to be more disciplined when it comes to my attitude and things like that. Mm. So that does play out for my kids as well. So I have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, Kimberly and Chloe. My husband, I've been married for a year and a half. We've been together for about 7 years. So we met in college. Awesome. I'm currently in school still, but in a different school currently. But I started off at Georgia State and we met at Georgia State. It was Georgia State at first, but now it's Georgia State. And since then, we have always been great friends. And then one day, he was like, look, girl, I like you. I want you. I'm going to have you. Oh. And I said, okay.
Don't. Okay, that's it.
He loved me.
Okay, good. That's the story I want.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
It's not a messenger chat we are having at this moment.
I mean, I'm impressive. So.
Oh, yeah, got you. It was romantic for you, I guess.
Yeah, but basically, that's like, hey, I'm going to marry you. And I was like, okay. And then it happened. So, but finding time is really God. It's really God. I couldn't imagine myself in this moment.
It just happens. It just happens with you.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It gets hard. Sometimes I'm not able to always keep up. And my husband, he jumps in. He's like, babe, I got you. You know, my kids are one of my part of my biggest inspiration as well. They come with me to different performances, different rehearsals. My daughters, I think they may be actors or creators themselves. They love making their own content. And
awesome.
So it's amazing. And I just hope that when I'm the way that I move,
yeah,
we can inspire them. But it's positive. It's always positive.
Got it. So now I jump on the part where we talk on your support your husband. So how's his role in your work-life balance? How does he support? How does your chemistry work out when it comes to all these things? You know, at this moment, it's 3 a.m. and you're talking and he's at this moment helping you out. So how does chemistry goes and how do you guys manage things up for each other? What's that thing?
It's a 50-50 thing. Sometimes it's 25-75. Yeah. I'm the 25, he's the 75 sometimes. But it switch way. But he's amazing. I told him about the interview, you know, I told him how I was gonna set it up. And I was like, yeah, you know, but I'm just going to have my computer and, you know, I'm just going to turn this light on. And he's like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do it the right way. He's going to get this and get my camera. Da, da, da. And I'm like,
yeah.
That. I didn't think beyond that, you know, so he has his own podcast and everything. So he does this like on a regular, just regular thing.
Yep. Whenever you're going to have this media kind of thing, just get him on your board. Okay, just get him with yourself because you're terrible in this thing. You know, you just you must have him with you when you're doing this media stuff. That's why, because I guess you'll just wake up, hey, I'm there. No, you need him at that point when any kind of interviews are happening. So that's the great part that you have him with you, like 25-75, 50-50. You both got it. We are coming on his podcast in a couple of minutes. But before that, I'd like to know more on your EP. I don't know what the EP is, but I came to know the song Soul Chemistry under the stage name. The name is also very strange. B3AC3 is various. So it's available. I'm also coming on that name too. So firstly, we'll talk about the Soul Chemistry. It's available everywhere. You can just type Soul Chemistry by P3AC3, or you can just go on YouTube and type Soul Chemistry. So can you share the inspiration behind the EP and the meaning behind the title? And please explain what EP is.
So EP is basically, I put out my first single. I'm a poet. I'm a poet as well. It was my first time putting my poetry to music. My father, shout out to my father. My father, he called me one day, him and my mom, and I was like, hey, we're here at the studio. We have an idea. And we wanted you to send. So he asked me to send him some of my poems. And I did. And he sent me a couple of beats. DJ Kelly sent me a couple of beats. And I started going through my poems and started putting poems to the beats. And then I was like, well, I like this. And I was very indecisive about two of my poems. And we started going through it. He was telling me, you know, this go with this. You know, if you sit down here. So they got me in the studio. And my mom sung background. My father played the bass guitar along with, he had some drum in there as well. Wow. We had the studio director, DJ Kelly, he put everything else together. So we got everything done that day. That was the best part. We got everything done. It's called Soul Chemistry because I wrote this poem a couple of years ago, like probably like 12 years ago maybe. And it's basically about being able to love someone infinitely. Whether you're able to love them in a physical way, a spiritual way, mental way, emotional way, but it's a love poem, and it's very descriptive. It describes itself. I don't really want to go into detail here on camera, but it describes itself. Soul chemistry is a connection of chemistry to the soul, and that's what the song describes. Yeah. Chemistry isn't always a physical thing. You can have chemistry spiritually. Yeah. You can have chemistry mentally. You can have chemistry mostly. Personally, I prefer a spiritual and mental chemistry, you know, first and foremost. So that's what that's about. The name came about. My father helped me come up with a name because I was like, Dad, this song came from a real deep part of my life. And I said, I wrote this. I was going through, you know, a certain thing part of my life. And he was like, well, that's some good chemistry. And I was like, that's soul chemistry. I was like, yeah, I like that. We can put that together. And so we got the EP, the project together. It was my first project. We had released it. It was February when we released it. February, March.
Okay. Yes. Got it. Now we jump on the part of your name, P3AC3. What is that? Why you keep that? And it's too odd. I don't want to see that name, but it's still there and I have to put it every single time when I'm posting. So what is the story behind this weird name?
Well, it's not for you, so it doesn't matter. It's for me. But not for anybody else, it's for me.
Yeah.
It means peace. P3AC3 because when I had the name, when I originally got my name displayed, someone took the E's. So I had to create some threes. I had to get real creative. Oh. I'm a creator.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it became peace. That's what it means. P3AC3.
Okay.
I came up with the name.
Peace.
Peace. Mm-hmm. Everybody calls me Peace. That's the name that I did not choose. I was given. In high school, going towards college, I had a couple of friends that was like, "Bree, your spirit is It was just the way that they would talk about me and things I would do to help. So in school, I was very big on I wasn't very popular. I wasn't the popular of what you would think, but popular is. I was friends with everybody. With jobs, mm-hmm. They had special ed at the time and things like that. So that's really how I earned my name.
Oh, got it. Okay. So the PTACT is E. It's kind of a brand name, if you can see. It's not even a name. It's three replacing. It's kind of brand identity. The thing that she played with the name E as three, and that's why she got P3AC3 as her Instagram handle. Now, the upcoming movie I'm going to talk on, it's like currently working on a movie called Searching for Raymond. Can you give us some insight into the film storyline and your character role in it? How's the experience? What's going on in that?
So Searching for Raymond, it's called Searching for Raymond. It's the story of Donna Maria Green, and it's based on a true story. It happened in 1978. She had her son in a Grady Hospital here in Atlanta. And her son's name was Raymond.
Okay.
He was from her in the hospital. She had just had her baby. Okay. So yeah, he came up there too. And this was around in 1970. I don't know if a lot of people know, but in Atlanta. I'm sorry, I'm getting goosebumps right now because of the story. So,
okay. I got the link, but I didn't watch that video, so I got no idea, but I can sense now. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch that clip that you sent to me. I'm going to do some research on that.
It's okay.
I can see, but tell us in short what's happening, what's the storyline, what are people like, what's your character and all.
So my name is, I play a young lady named Lisa actually steals Miss Donna's baby. When I got that news, I was like, I have to play a baby stealer. It was very difficult for me to
Got it.
So it's the story is based on true events. It was when 5-day-year-old Raymond Lamar Green, he was abducted from his home in the middle of the day. And for the last 45 years, his mom had been looking for him nonstop. That's been her mission. And he, of course, will be a grown man now. But it's a tale of hope and faith and the love of a mother. And that mother's love is timeless, of course. So Raymond, it's a journey of endless love. She has a nonprofit organization as well for missing kids. And I don't remember the exact name for it, but in Atlanta, there was a period where kids were just missing. They just started becoming missing in different neighborhoods in Atlanta. Like I said, I played the young lady named Lisa. I meet the young lady in the hospital. Not me, she meets the young lady in the hospital, Ms. Donna in the hospital. Friends with her. Ms. Donna, I want to say she's naive. But she's kind of trusting, she doesn't really suspect bad things to happen with people just, not take her. The young lady leaves her home one day and she comes to the home, Ms. Donna's brother's there, and she ends up stealing Ms. Donna's baby. And for 45 years now, she had been looking for her child. At first she wasn't really having him much help from investigators, Atlanta police. It's a lot that ties into this story, and It's national. It's becoming a national story. I'm shaking right now, telling this story because I have goosebumps right now because I remember the story is about not this particular story.
I got it. The whole thing, I got it. Okay, I'm excited to see whenever it comes out in a year or two, and I'd be happy to get you on board and the whole team if it's possible. Anyone who's interested, we can have a good kind of interview at that period when it's releasing. Just inform me, and I'm wishing you all the best and to your film and to you, to your character, and to that in very good way and properly and professionally. And I hope you figure out time for preparation of that particular character. You don't get messed up with the animals or the kids. You get proper time.
Oh my goodness. I think he's gonna love it.
Okay. Okay. So now jumping on, coming on the topic, which is about your husband. If he's awake, you can call him and we can talk. Or if he's sleeping, tell me about his podcast. What's his podcast? He was looking for a shout out. So yeah, let's have it.
Greg, husband.
Okay. If he's sleeping, if he's not in mood of talking, we can't have this. He's just coming. Oh man, what's happening? If he's in proper mood, then and only then get him on camera, or you please share about it.
Okay, so my husband, he has a podcast. It's called the NYH mm-hmm. Show.
Okay.
I'm talking about your podcast.
What's the podcast all about?
The podcast is he basically touches on different topics that's going on around mm-hmm. the world, Sudan, Jerusalem. There's different topics that you don't hear, and that's in this, whether it's in the media or not in the media. But just like I said, his podcast is surrounds about whether it's music, world topics. But he's been doing it for a while now. He's at show 100 and I want to say 20 right now. I'm really his biggest fan, and I can't tell you exactly what episode he's on. Forgive me for that. But I know.
No problem. We are going to show the poster. We are going to show the link and where people can find this particular podcast. So a Spotify screenshot will be here on the screen, and the link and the show name, show logo will be here in front of the screen at this moment. So people can go and check out. A huge shout out to the podcast that he is doing, and I wish him all the best. Awesome. Keep on doing it. He's doing good. He's got good setup. I'm wishing him all the best. And now, what about, is there any stage plays that you're doing coming up? Where can people find it? What's the plays? Where can they buy the tickets?
Currently, I'm like I said, I'm doing the film for Searching for Raymond at the moment. So I haven't been mm-hmm. in any stage plays. Currently not right now. With the person I work with, Blackbird's Melody, we do have a film. It's called Moshe. But we're on season eight with him right now. So from there with him, we've been working with Mr. Star Freeman, been working in Blackbird for Searching for Raymond. So that's mostly where my focus has been for the moment. Because
on the films.
Yeah, on the not just the films, but Search for Raymond, yes, for the movie. Because it takes a lot.
You're shifting now. You're shifting your focus to films and short films and anything related to movies.
Yeah, movie.
Got it. So less of stage plays and more of movies, focusing that particular time. Absolutely. You're managing time. Whatever you get, you're focusing on any kind of role that you get in movies. Okay, got it. Thank you for sharing it. Anything comes up, just let me know and I'm happy to share it. Okay. So you've been hustling around from last 8 years, 9 years with kids around you. You are working 10, 12 hours a day, also carrying out your passion, and you are all night whenever I call you, and when you are there available, you are available for every single moment that's going to happen. You keep yourself awake and you say that it's God's energy and I have to do it. So you carry all this energy with you every single day or moment or time. Any advice you'd like to share with people who are in the same situation but not finding hope or inspiration or finding excuses, or they're looking for some kind of advice when they're not in that great position, but at this moment, you are still doing your job. It's not like you should get advice from a star every single time, but you should get advice from a hustler who's doing it. And she's keeping that pace for a long period of time. So what advice would you like to share to the young ones who's listening, artists?
For artists, whether you're young, old, just keep pushing. Just keep moving on the best way you can. You can only be your own. You have support around you. If you have support, that's great. But honestly, you can only be your greatest supporter. God works with me this entire time. I don't do anything by myself. God does it all. And when I try to do it by myself, it never works out when I try to do it by myself. So my advice to people is live your life the best way you know how. If you have the opportunity to be great, take that opportunity. Step out on faith. It's scary sometimes. It's a 50-50 chance every single time. So we always focus on the fear of things. Well, if I step on, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? But we never focus on the positive. Well, if I step out, I know I can get this done, or I know I can do this. And I'm pretty sure, you know, you can take so many no's, but once you get that yes, that one yes, you know, you can, you it's like something about that one yes. But just like I said, it's mostly just being able to push forward. You can't, I don't know anybody else's situation, but it builds. It just takes time.
Yeah.
Continue to motivate yourself daily. It is not easy for me daily. I don't even try to make it look, if it looks easy, I thank God for it, because it's not me. But it does get difficult sometimes, and sometimes you can get low, but don't soak in it. Acknowledge that there are things going on. Acknowledge where it started so that you can push through and finish. Just don't sit there. You fall so many times, you never lose, you always learn. You never lose, you always learn. And that's how you become successful. And just time management, with your family, support, even just with yourself, that's important.
God, thank you so much for sharing it. You just got to push up, and that's very good advice that you gave. Do you know anything about the story that we did, that it's inspired from real life events? You got any idea about the story?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's inspired from real life events, and it's out now on 17th of June. So any words on that story you'd like to share?
Yes.
Thoughts on that story?
Yes, that story. First of all, I'm just glad that I have the opportunity to be able to present the story. With it being a real life event, that's what I was saying earlier with the other story, Search for Raymond, but with this one, that's why it touched me so, that's why I was getting goosebumps, because when I read this story, this man taking the life of his housekeeper. And I know that it first started off, it was crazy how it started. I listened to the 911 phone call, and the story he was giving was that, I guess his dogs, it's supposed to be the dog tripped the young lady up on the stairs, and she ended up losing her life. She was unresponsive and things that matter. But I know later on, he ended up killing his son and his wife.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm shaking right now. I don't deal very well with these stories. So it takes me to a whole different place. And I have to.
Yeah.
I have to find space.
I can complete.
Yeah. So when I read this story, it put me in tears, because I can't imagine. I'm shaking like crazy right now. I just can't imagine.
Okay. I was just checking if you know this or not. You know this.
I do know about the story. It's a saddening story, but not just for the family, because the way it started off with the housekeeper family, but for his own family, you know, trying to cover up everything, fraud, money laundering.
It's too much. I was just checking on you that if you know this or not, so we can get a bite on this particular. But yeah, you know it, and you can't talk on it because you're shaking. You're getting goosebumps at this moment. So any time you get goosebumps, I don't know what topic you get goosebumps on. So I asked. And if you're listening to this interview at this moment, just make sure I've tagged the story in the description, so you can go and check it. You can see the poster here at this moment, and just go and listen to this NYC Crime Time Housekeeper's Murder. Okay, that's it. And look, this interview, to everyone who's listening to this, I was not even prepared. I was very angry on her, and I was very angry on me and the whole situation.
Angry. He had every right to be angry. He did. Since we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it. I'm being patient. No, seriously. You're very patient.
So here's the exclusivity. This was going to be the last project with Brianna M. Thomas. That was I was going to drop a message. Thank you for being on the show. This is our last collaboration that's going to happen. And that was the end of it. Thank you so much. I don't know if we can work on that. And that was it. I was completely prepared on this, and I was completely upset. And then she just calls. So I was like, I was holding myself up. Okay, what she's going to say now. Hold up, also listen. And she was talking in her own mood, so I was not even listening to her at that point. I was just thinking, how should I control myself? But a couple of minutes, it was too tough for me, because I also have to handle the guys outside who's running this whole co-working space. So I got the time, I got people working, and they said, okay, you can do it at this moment. So it worked. It worked really well. And then internet came into action. So internet was also not performing. But just now, I just completely gave up that, okay, anything we record, we are only going to shoot that. If something is not getting recorded, we are just going to chop it out. Even if you record 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, only those minutes are going to be shown up, and rest we can't do, because some things we can't control. So yeah, I guess that's my part, but I hope this interview went well. What's your thought?
I was very nervous. So I think it went well as well. I think for the most part, it's the goosebumps and the shaking for me. When I talk about those stories, because I know you mentioned you don't know why I get goosebumps, but living in Atlanta, you experience a lot of different things, and a lot of those stories are pretty similar to a lot of things I experienced around my life. So to have, for example, like I was talking about the Raymond, to have a baby stolen from your home, I don't know my personal experience, but I know someone who that happened to have your housekeeper or your wife.
Yeah.
It's you grow up around a lot of that stuff. Like I said, I don't want to say I struggled. I went through a lot around my surroundings growing up where I grew up at. So I get goosebumps like that because I get very strong. And then you have to, I'm very strong-minded about those things. So the fact that I have to play or have to interact with some of these characters, you have to find that mindset. You've done that research. To be in the mindset of somebody like that, to have to go through anything like that, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. So I get real shaky when it happens. Yeah. Let me talk about these stories. That's all.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. To everyone who's listening, go follow Breonna M. Thomas. She's by this name, P3AC3, on social media. You can follow her. She is by name Breonna M. Thomas. Breonna M. Thomas. And what's the other one?
It's Breonna. I'm sorry. My panel name is at @peace_peace, which is P3AC3.
Okay.
Or you can find me on other platforms from Breonna Monique Thomas or Breonna Monique Dowdell.
So
still switching things over.
Okay. All right. So everything will be mentioned in the description and the show notes. And I thank God at this moment because this interview happened in some kind of manner. And go check out the stories, every single thing. If you love the stories, crime stories, drama, mystery, romance, everything, every single story is linked as per categories. You can listen them, download free. Make sure check out them all. I am Ajay Tambe, and I'm now signing off.